Today I want to talk about yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it's a subject that I've talked on several times, you know, but as I was thinking about it late last night and early this morning, there's some things that the Lord brought to my mind. I was going to do something else, but I want to bring out a few things here this morning. The first thing that I want to say on the subject of yesterday is, as you know, yesterday's gone. Yesterday is gone. As a matter of fact, I was sitting in the same chair that I'm sitting now. I was sitting there yesterday, but I cannot recapture that moment. It's gone. Well, maybe I can think back, but it's gone nonetheless. So we have things that were in our yesterday. There might have been some pain, some sorrows, some grief, some distress, some failures, some anguish, some disappointment, sickness, poverty, some loss, discouragement, and all these things that may have been there. Well, that was then, but today it's a new day. It is a new day. Today, when you hear the word of the Lord, I encourage you to look forward to healing and restoration. Now, some things are already being healed. I mean, since we started this room almost 2 months now, daily, there's a lot of healing, but there's more yet to be done. You know, so we just keep pressing on. So today, you'll hear the word of the Lord for encouragement. You know, the Bible even talks about, you know, prisoners of hope. Well, we don't want to be prisoners of hope. You know, we are already liberated. We should never be prisoner of anything. You know, some people are prisoners because, you know, they don't really know whether what they are hoping for will come. But faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. But faith is now. Hallelujah. So today, we'll hear the word of the Lord for today and for tomorrow. We hear the word of the Lord concerning yesterday as well. Even though it's gone, there's something we're going to bring out about it. And although you cannot go back and change the past, cannot go back and change yesterday, you know, however, there are some lessons we can learn, you know, from the past. And use those lessons to guide ourselves or guide ourselves today and in the future. So God bless everybody this morning and good morning and welcome. You know, I love to give an illustration. You know, when we used to have those old VHS tapes, tape players, you know, you could wind the tape forward, wind the tape backwards and all of that. You know, and every time we keep looking back on the past, it's like winding that tape backwards, wind that tape backwards and so forth. I mean, let the thing play already, but we keep winding it back. Well, winding it back, if you're going to, here's the way I put it. If you're for this tape of life, you can't really wind it back. But memories are the things that we wind back. And those are only in the emotions. We've already covered that, how to separate between that and the spirit. But in this room, we did. Now, if you're going to wind it back at all, here's what I say to people. Wind it back. Get your hand off that rewind button and record over it fresh memories. Erase it. It's gone. You can't do. Don't keep looking back. Don't keep looking back. Actually, God doesn't like us to be looking back, except for, you know, just to gain or garnish some knowledge from it. Remember Lot's wife, he said in the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Well, what happened to Lot's wife? You know, we don't know exactly. You know, that, you know, the, what she wanted to cast her mind back to look at. But they were instructed, don't look back. Escape for your life into the mountains. Don't even look back at all. Well, she did look back. And it didn't end very well. And I just imagine how Lot would have felt that day. And, his children. To see his wife and their mother just disintegrate into a pillar of salt. My goodness. Well, of course, they didn't have time to grieve right away. They had to get out of that place in a hurry. But I tell you, that would not have been a sight that they would want to remember. But God said, look, escape for your life. Don't look back. But she did look back. And Jesus, when he was talking about this in Luke 17, he was even talking about, things that will happen in the future. He said, look, as it was in the days, of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, and they built it. I'm reading from Luke 17 and 28. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff is in the house, let him not come down to take it. And he that is in the field, let him not even return back. Don't even, He said, remember Lot's wife. Escape. For your life, they were told, and don't look back. So we don't know what you look back to, but anytime that we keep casting our mind back, it actually prevents us from moving forward. And that's not a good thing. In fact, the story that is told to us in Hebrews, chapter 11, we're told of all those heroes of faith that were looking for a country and, whose builder and maker is God. And as they kept going, they might have had opportunity to keep looking back or keep thinking back. And if they were mindful, of that country from where they came out, they would have had opportunity to have returned. So let's read it in Hebrews 11, verse 15. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Their mind is always in the back. Their mind is always in the past. Their mind is always looking back from the situation where they used to be. Well, guess what? You might find yourself, dragged back into that same situation. And the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, their minds were always still going back there, always complaining instead of going forward. And in their hearts, many of them returned to Egypt. And it did not, fare very well for most of them. In fact, the older generation that came out of that place, they were all destroyed. Because instead of their mind being on the things that God had promised, their mind kept going back. Well, there are no graves in Israel. In Egypt, they said, we're not even this and that better in Egypt. Of course, it was not better when they were in Egypt. They were lamenting and they were crying by reason of their taskmasters. But now they're telling the Lord that, well, our life was better there. And they kept looking back and that didn't fare very well for them. So the Lord wants us to move forward. So today, let me talk about today. There are scriptures, and I'm going to talk about, tomorrow as well in a minute. But today, we are told in Exodus 14 and verse 13, the Egyptians that you see today, you will not see them anymore hereafter. So God gives an encouragement for the day. Of course, they were there grumbling and thinking that their lives will be destroyed that day. But the Lord gave encouragement and said, today, I'm going to do a great wonder. The Egyptians that you are looking at, Fear ye still, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. Exodus 14 and 13. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And of course, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying unto me? Tell the children of Israel that they go forward. You got to go forward. So that's, a point blank instruction. Don't stay there bemoaning your situation. You have got to go forward. We got to go forward. Hallelujah. Now, today, when you hear his voice, we are told in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 16 that, there's a lot of situation, that would require us to exhort one another, because there's deceitfulness of sin, the challenges everywhere. So the Lord said, look, exhort one another daily. Hebrews 3 and 16. Hebrews 3 and 13. Exhort one another daily. Daily. That, while it is called today. So it is still called today. Today. And while it is called today, we are instructed to exhort one another, because of all the challenges that people might face. So today, he also says, while you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So that's today. So today, there will be a voice that the Lord is going to give us, and an encouragement that he's going to give us today. And, I welcome all of you to the room as we are going to get deeper into this. Amelia, Samagi, Michelle, Sam, Grace, Mary, Sai Kenya, Adewoye, all of you, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. As we go through, let's consider the lessons of today. Today is even the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, but today. In fact, isn't that wonderful? That tells us that today is all we have. Second Corinthians, chapter 6 and verse 2 will tell us that today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Now is the accepted day, time. Now is the day of salvation. This very moment and this very time. So we should not delay. We should not procrastinate, except the Lord gives us point blank instructions, which we will see here. But let's talk about tomorrow. And then I'm going to bring it all together in a bit. We talked about yesterday. Yesterday's gone. Can't do anything about it. And don't keep looking back. Get your finger off that rewind button. You got to move forward. Today, you're going to hear the word of promise, the word of blessing that will give you hope for tomorrow. So tomorrow, there are many times that the Lord did say things about tomorrow in the Bible. And I often wondered, why did he say tomorrow? Why didn't he just do the thing already? Why do you always say tomorrow? But there were many, many times that all these things, some great deliverances that he wanted to bring, he always said tomorrow. And we see a story, and we're going to share with you a few stories here, beginning from Exodus, when Moses was in Egypt, and he went before Pharaoh. There were many, many times that Moses would go before Pharaoh, and it would be, tomorrow I will do this thing in the land, is what the Lord would say. Let's just read a few of those examples. Exodus 8 and 23. The Lord said to, Pharaoh, I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. Well, why wasn't it today? So we're going to talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow shall this sign be. There's a reason why he says that. And I'll get to that when I get to one other particular story in a minute. Also in Exodus chapter 9, verses 5 and 18, the Lord said, and the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. So the people have all day to think about it, you know, but he said tomorrow. And why did he always say tomorrow? And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, just like he said. And all the cattle of Egypt died, but not one of the children, you know, that belonged to the children of Israel died. So he always says, there's a reason he says it, gives them opportunity to think about it. You know, behold, tomorrow about this time, verse 18 of Exodus 9, I will cause it to rain a grievous, very grievous hail. You know, and so it shall be and all that. So the Lord was always saying these things about tomorrow. This was judgment that was coming. But there's also a promise of good. Sometimes that he gives, you know, for tomorrow. Gives us hope. Second, in the story, there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 7. You know, this was, verse 1. Elisha, you know, the word of the Lord, you know, there's been tremendous famine in the land. You know, the enemies have come up against them and cut off the water supply and everything. And there have been all kinds of problems going on in that place for many, you know, a long time. So Elisha got up one day and said, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Well, he said tomorrow. Why didn't he say today? Well, because, you know, it was an appointed time. You know, and the Lord wanted to give them the opportunity to look forward to it. Well, that is brought more, you know, more plainly out in the story of Jehoshaphat. Of course, in this story of Elisha, the story, we know the thing happened with the 4 lepers and all that God did with the camp of the Syrians and so on. You know, but let's look at the story of Jehoshaphat in Exodus chapter 20. Second Chronicles chapter 20. Jehoshaphat had three armies that came up against him. One army was even large enough, let alone three. And they have Moab, they have Mount Seir and Hamon, all these people, they came up against him. And they didn't know what to do because each of these armies were large enough to have overwhelmed them, let alone, you know, three combined nations. You know, so, but as you know the story, the word of the Lord came to them, you know, from a young prophet in the middle of the place. And that's what he said, you know. So let's hark into the story right here from verse 14 of 2 Chronicles 20. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, and said, hearken ye, all Judah, ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. That's a beautiful, you know, and wonderful encouragement from the Lord. Tomorrow, go ye down against them. You know, why didn't he say today? Tomorrow, and I will tell you exactly why in a minute. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come out by the cliff Ziz. You find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, and be not dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, and the Lord will be with you. Now, this is the reason why the Lord, in this case, said tomorrow. You know, when that promise is given, what is your reaction today? So, the Jehoshaphat, this is his reaction. Jehoshaphat, when he heard the promise for tomorrow, what did he do? He could have said, well, why not today? And jump out and try to do it today. They would have been smitten before their enemies. But he's going to wait for the set time. But in the meantime, see, this is the thing that I want to bring up. In the meantime, while the, you know, word of God is preparing to come, you know, and while the season for the word of God that he has promised you draws near, what do you do in the meantime? What should you do in the meantime? Well, here's what Jehoshaphat did. He had all day to think about it. So Jehoshaphat bowed his head to the face and he worshipped. And he commanded all Judah, you know, all inhabitants of Jerusalem with him. And together they worshipped the Lord. They spent the day worshipping the Lord in preparation for the sound of victory that the Lord gave that's going to happen tomorrow. Well, they're not there yet. They are only here today. But there's something God promised for tomorrow. So I'm going to start shouting the victory even now. I'm going to start worshiping the Lord. I'm going to start praising the Lord. You know, so that's what they did. And Jehoshaphat consulted with the people. As you know, this rest of the story, found those that knew how best to play the tambourines, the timbrel, according to the commandment of David, found some of the sons of Asaph, and so on and so forth, and got them, put them in front of the army to praise the beauty of holiness and to say the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. And he put all the skilled soldiers in the back. Let the worshippers go forward. Hallelujah. So that's a lesson for us to learn. While we are waiting for the word of promise, what do you do in the meantime? While you are waiting for that better tomorrow, which God already promised, what do you do today? Today, it's the time to worship. So that's one of the reasons why God gives us the promise for tomorrow rather than for today. Give you time to react and prepare your heart for what God is going to do. We see many other stories like that in the Bible, but let me leave it there. There's something that I want to bring out here. I'm going to talk a little bit about some lessons from, you know, the, you know, understanding what God will have us know. I want to talk about the law of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. This is the way I choose to put it. I brought this, this teaching out when I was teaching on the pillars of wisdom for several weeks at our local church here on the ground in Phoenix, Arizona. Because those who are here from that church would remember some of this. I hope they do. But I'm going to talk about understanding from the perspective of hindsight, insight, and foresight. So, let me give you some definitions. Now, first I'm going to talk about insight in general. Now, these three attributes of understanding cover yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Now, this is all part of, you know, the attributes of understanding. Insight, I define as the capacity to gain an accurate and deep intuitive understanding or awareness of a person, a thing, or a present situation. I think that actually comes from the dictionary. The capacity to gain an accurate and deep intuitive understanding or awareness of a person, a thing, or a present situation. Well, let's look at some of these other definitions of insight. It is the ability to have a clear, deep, and sometimes sudden understanding of a complicated problem or situation. It is also the ability to gain such understanding. Some of these definitions come from the dictionary. But then I add some of my own from the Holy Spirit that He gives me. You know, insight comes from the inspiration of the Almighty. You'll find that in Job chapter 32 and verse 8. He says, look, great men are not always great in age, or old men are not always the wisest, but there's a spirit in man. There's a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Now, that's insight. Comes from the Lord. Now, here is my own flavor to that. The ability to make effective choices today based on an understanding of the past and a prediction of the future. You know, so you see how you cover all three dimensions. The ability to make effective choices today based on an understanding of the past. That's what the past is really good for. It's not good for us to be bemoaning it, but it's good for us to learn from it. And I'll give you some laws in a minute. Based on an understanding of the past and a prediction for the future, you can make effective choices today. That's insight. Now, hindsight, insight, and foresight, these are all attributes of understanding in a way. It's all part of insight too, because, you know, insight about the past is called hindsight. Insight about the present is called insight. And insight about the future or tomorrow is called foresight. You know, so let's read a scripture here. So in this part here, I'm going to take it slow and do some teaching, because it is important for you to grab this and some of these lessons and these laws that I'm going to bring out. You know, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Where there is no vision, the Bible says in Proverbs 29 and verse 18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And of course, we know also, you know, the people perish for lack of wisdom. Let me talk about hindsight for a minute. We use hindsight to gain understanding from the past. So it's the ability to gain insight from your past. It will give you understanding, give you some enlightenment. You can use that to, you can learn from your past mistakes or build upon past successes. And listen to that. There are failures of the past and successes of the past. The failure is a failure only if you look at it that way. I choose to not look at anything as a failure, but I choose to look at it as a lesson learned, because now you know that it doesn't work that way. So it's not necessarily a failure. You can look at it as a lesson that you've learned. If you did something and it didn't work, some people say it's a failure. Well, I say, well, no, I've learned that it doesn't work that way. So now, you know, I can do it a different way. So, you know, you may choose to not look at it as a failure. You know, so you can look at even past mistakes as a lesson to, you know, help you prepare for a better tomorrow. You know, so that's hindsight. Hindsight comes from all of that. But let me tell you about insight, and I give you a law of yesterday here. You know, you're never going to be better than you were yesterday if you fail to move beyond your past. Whether that past was filled with so-called failure or successes, if you don't move beyond the past, You will not be better than you were yesterday. What does that mean? Well, what it means is this. You know, people that are bemoaning past failures, well, they will just stay in that state of depression and discouragement. Because the enemy, he knows how to use those tools of discouragement you know, and disappointments of the past to keep you from moving forward. Now, and tell you to stay down. You already been beat. Just stay down for the count. And you can stay down for the count or you can get up. You know, the choice is yours. Well, getting up is not easy. You're going to have to muster all the internal strength that you have to get up. Especially after you get taken a good beat down. You know, so, but the enemy wants you to stay down. The Lord tells you to get up. The Lord is in your corner, tells you to get up. But if you're looking at the past failures, you'll never be better than that. That's why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife. Don't keep looking back. That won't end well. It never ended well for her as well. But you got to keep pressing forward. In the book of Micah, chapter 7, verse 8, that prophet said, look, don't rejoice against me, my enemy, because when I fall down, I'm going to get up. I'm not going to sit down and lay down for the count. I will get up, and even when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. So I will not stay down for the count. Micah 7 and 8. We've seen how, you know, in Exodus 14 and 15, the Lord told them to move forward. We read that already. And here's how Paul put it in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. He says, look, instead of always bemoaning the past, whether it's good or bad, you know, I need to press forward. Pressing forward is the way that Paul the apostle put it. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, he said, look, I count not myself to have apprehended. So even the things, even the successes of the past, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, this is Philippians 3 and 13, I press forward. Now, if you read it from a few verses earlier, he said, look, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, you know, so you keep on pressing forward. And he said, look, even whatever you think you've gained, in verse 15, he said, let us be thus minded. Whatever you think you've gained, keep pressing forward. Not that we have already attained, but let us walk by the same rule. Even for those who think they've attained anything, you got to keep pressing forward. Now, here's what happens when we are only, you know, rejoicing in the, you know, I mean, just dwelling in the past, even on past successes. Great people, people who are great, great men that do great things in life. They are never satisfied, men and women. They're never satisfied with, you know, status quo. Oh, okay, so we did something. No. We did something yesterday. No. I mean, if you haven't done anything today that's better than you did yesterday, then you haven't done anything for today yet. You know, so, even when they were successful things in the past, if you keep, you know, just resting on your oars, as people say, then you'll never get any new successes. So whether it's failures of the past or successes of the past, until you learn to move beyond your past, you will not be better today than you were yesterday. Even when you achieved something yesterday, you did great things for the Lord yesterday. And if that's all you're thinking about and you don't do anything today, then you'll never be better than that. So you got to do something new. You got to say, Lord, do something new in my life every day. Yes, Lord, you've done those great things and so forth, but I want something new. I want to experience something new. Teach me, Lord, something I have not seen before. That's what God told Jeremiah. Call upon me. I'll show you great and mighty things which thou hast not known. Jeremiah 33:3. And then say, Lord, you know, take me to the place where I cannot attain. That's right. Teach me something that I cannot know on my own. Show me something that I've never known. Take me to a height that I've never been. And I could not get to do something new in my life. We can't stay in the past. You stay in the past, you will never be better than you were. God promises something new. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. He said, look, I will do a new thing. Well, the old is good. What he did there, for us to thank him for it. But we need something new. I need something new. Today is a new day. I got to have something new. Hey, I cannot just remain where I was yesterday. Then you will never move forward. And you never get new victories. I need something new. Behold, saith the Lord, I will do a new thing. That's right. So, it's a new day. And for every day, we must desire new things from the Lord. Now, this is not to discount what God has already done. We must thank him for what he has already done. You know, but we must look forward for greater things. Now, when we don't look forward to greater things, then what happens? You know, people just get complacent. Complacency is what develops when we just look at the past. We revel ourselves in the, the fact that we did something great in the past, you know, and so forth. Well, if we're not careful, Jesus said to the church in Sardis, in Revelation 3 and 2, thou hast a name that thou livest, but you are dead. Because all you are thinking about is what you did yesterday and what you did in yesteryears. But today, you are dead. But you are carrying on that old name. They still call you, a great brother, a great prophet, a great this and a great that. But you're already dead because there's nothing new happening. We're just dwelling in the old. We need something new. Hallelujah. We need the Holy Ghost to shake up some things in our lives. Can't just, be dwelling only in, what God did in the past. And people are always talking about great things that God has done in the past and great things that God's going to do in the future. What about now? Glory to God. And here's another thing I want you to know about the future. Foresight. Foresight is the future that you can see today. I put it this way. The future you see today is where you will be tomorrow. In order for you to attain that future tomorrow, you've got to see it today. This is how great people do. There's some people call it dreams, some people call it vision, some people call it whatever. Ambition, aspiration, anything you want to call it. But if you can't see it, you cannot get there. You got to see it. Inventors and all these great people, that's what they do. They got to see it in order to get there. And this lesson is given to us in the story of Abraham himself. In Genesis chapter 13, after that, the separation between him and Lot, God told him, he said, look, verse 14. And the Lord said to Abraham, after that the Lot was departed from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where you are. Now, from where you are right now, I challenge every one of you that's in the room. I don't care the successes of yesterday or the failures of yesterday. It doesn't matter. But where you are right now is where you are now. Forget the things of the past. I will do a new thing. Whether those things were good or bad, God will do a new thing, especially if those things were bad. Don't beat yourself down in those things. Move on to greater things. And even more so when those things were good. Don't rest on your oars and be complacent. God has much more, for you where that came from. The analogy I always love to use, and some people have heard me say it, is like, look, whatever we had from the Lord before, it's like taking a bucket to the ocean. You take your bucket, take your fuel. You can even take a barrel. You can even take a tanker. You can take any size container to the ocean. Take your fuel and go. There's more where that came from. Come back and get some more. There's always more where that came from. You know, so the Lord said to Abraham, from where you are right now, this is where you are. Never mind what happened between you and Lot and so forth. But right now, from where you are, look all around you. I want you to exercise your faith horizon, forth your horizon to see the Lord. You know, look eastward, northward, southward, westward, everywhere. For all the land which thou seest. That's what I'm going to give to you. The more you can see, the more I'll give you. Now, if Abraham at the time had figured out some way to see something bigger or farther out, maybe he climbed up higher, found a way to climb up higher so that he can see farther out. I don't know. However, he's going to see it. Something might have been blocking his, you know, line of sight, you know, but if he could have figured out a way to see farther out, that's what the Lord said. Whatever you can see is what I will give you. Now, that's the law of foresight. The future that you see today is where you can be tomorrow. If you don't see it, you can't be there. So don't be looking at the past. No, God wants you to take a look at the future. You are on the edge of tomorrow. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are standing on the edge of a brighter tomorrow. But you've got to look out there and see. You got to see it, you know, as far as your mind can imagine it. If you can imagine it, if you can think it, according to Ephesians 3 and 20, if you can think it, God can outdo it. But you got to think it. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. You know, exercise your imagination. Dream big. Glory to God. Why? You know, is your God a little God? Or do you have a big God? You know, the Bible even says in the book of Isaiah chapter 54, it said, look, enlarge the place of your tents. You know, let them stretch forth the, you know, the curtains of your habitations. You know, spare not. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. This is Isaiah 54 and verse 2. He said, for thou shalt break forth. But you look, there are some things you got to do. Right? You have got to enlarge the place of your tent. You know, make bigger room so that you can have bigger tent. If you make a small, if you only have a small land, then you can only get a small tent in there. You know, get a bigger land. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, said the Lord. You know, stretch for the curtains. You know, why limit yourself? Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Because you will break forth that. Say, thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And I see shall inherit the Gentiles. I begin to tell him all kinds of things. I begin to tell them. You know, so what we are saying now is, look, you got to see that future, folks. You got to see it. So let me ask you today. I challenge every one of you that's in the room that's listening to me right now. I'm preaching now. Slow down now. I challenge you now to see. You know, God used to ask the prophet, he said, what do you see? He said, well, I see a rod, I see a flying roll, I see this and I see that. You know, he said, well, you have well seen. He said, what do you see? Well, I see this, I see that. Well, I challenge you today. What do you see? I ask you in the name of the Lord, just like God told this man Abraham, I challenge you in the name of the Lord today, from the place where you are right now. And I don't care, you know, it doesn't matter what state you are. Whether you are in your 20s or your 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s, it doesn't matter. Caleb one time, he told Joshua, I said, look, I'm 85 today, but when we went out, I was 40. You know, and to this day, I have the same strength to go out in and out for war and so forth. I can do it. Therefore, give me this mountain. He looked at that mountain and he wanted it. And he got it too. So, you know, what do you see today? What do you see for tomorrow? Today, what do you see for tomorrow? Where do you see yourself tomorrow? It doesn't even matter if you are retired. You are never retired in the things of God. You know, so where do you see yourself tomorrow? Because today, this is where you are. Yesterday is gone. Can't do nothing about that anymore, other than to just learn from it. Today is here now. But God promises tomorrow. Well, we can't be in tomorrow by ourselves. We may never get there. We don't know. But if there is a promise for tomorrow, and there is a promise that God gave, then you got to do something about it today. That's all I'm saying. You know, when God gave Jehoshaphat a promise for tomorrow, he had to do something about it today. You can't just say, oh, God, I promise tomorrow. No. James tells us that, look, you can't say tomorrow, today, I'll go do this or that, because you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Well, we don't know, but God knows. And if God gave a promise of tomorrow, then that tomorrow will be there, because he would never say it if it wasn't so. Now, if God gave you a promise for tomorrow, what are you going to do about it today? When God told Noah that the rain was coming to destroy the world. See, God will tell you the rain is coming, but you have to build the ark. That's the way it works. God's not going to build an ark. He'll give you wood. You know, he'll show you where the trees are in the forest. But you're going to have to hew down the wood, and you're going to have to build that ark. It's something that God wants you to do about it. Well, there are times when God tells you, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, but you still must do something. You're always going to do something. You should listen to the message we spoke on do and do. Three seasons of D-O, D-E-W, and D-U-E. You know, you must do something. God wants us to do something. Even if all it is for you to worship while you're waiting for the word of promise, you got to do something. When Jesus was going to help Peter pay their taxes, he sent him down to go to the lake and go get a fish and go look inside and get a coin. I mean, what's that all about? He's the master. He could have just snapped his hand, but Jesus is not a magician. You know, he doesn't do stuff like that. Well, you say, well, he had rained down manna from heaven before. Yeah, he did. But look at where he got those people. You know, Jesus told Peter, go down to the sea and go get a fish. The first fish you get, there will be a coin in his mouth. You know, pay taxes for you and me. What was that all about? I mean, Peter had a whole lot of opportunity to either believe the word or doubt the word, because he wasn't carrying his fishing gear all around. He stashed it. So he had to go get his gear. Maybe go back home or go someplace and rent something or borrow something. First, he had to go get his gear, whether it was a net or hook or something that he needed. Well, Jesus told him one fish, so he was not going to look for a net. Just one fish, so I'm going to catch a fish. So while he's going, a devil will tell him, fish, coin, who ever heard of such a thing? You know, and so he will have opportunity along the way to doubt the word, and the word will try him. You know, so while he's going to get that gear, he's thinking in his heart, well, I don't know about this thing, but you know, that's where Hebrews 4 and 12 comes in. When your soul is doubting the word, then you bring in the word to make a separation, a dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit. Let your spirit latch onto the word and put the soul in its place. That's right. So that soul can be doubtful, unbelieving, all these emotions and so forth. The spirit get a hold of the word of God. Peter finally said, okay, fine. You know, so he went and did it. And, you know, while he's even trying to do it, the enemy may still be telling, how do you know if you catch that fish, there will be a coin in the mouth of it? Well, the master said it. And I said it once before in this room. I said, look, those fishes they heard the voice of the master miles away. And there was a coin somewhere in that water. And they are struggling to be the one to swallow that coin because they want to obey the voice of the master. That's right. You don't know how God works. Creation, they heard his voice. And all those fish, they are struggling. I'm going to be the one to swallow that coin. So it didn't matter. They struggled for it. And one of them, got that coin and said, well, I got it now, because now they got to do what the master said. And then when this man cast his coin, he cast his thing there, the one with the coin got a hold of that who come up there. That's right. Jesus already said the first fish that you take, because that word will sustain itself. Once Jesus says it, the word will happen. God has so many emissaries to make that word happen. The Lord gave the word. Psalm 68 and verse 11. Great is the company, whether it's fish, whoever, they make that word come to pass. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you must see it in order to get there. These are how visionaries achieve great successes. And if you don't see it, you will not get there. The choices you make today will shape your tomorrow. You are living today as a result of some of the choices you made yesterday or in the past. Take a look at it. Consider it. Some of the place where you are today could be because of choices you made yesterday. But as long as it is called today, listen, folks, as long as it is called today, there is still opportunity to make better choices. Let's say even you made some bad choices in the past that got you into a dark place right now. Some people say, well, I'm in a dark place. Well, okay. I don't know how you got there. And we're not making light of it. But however you got there, sometimes it's because of poor choices. It's because of not listening to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will check you, but you don't listen. We don't use prudence, because the prudent man foreseeth the evil and hided himself. The foolish, they just walk right into it and they get into trouble. And then there's regret. A lot of regret can be avoided by listening to the voice of the Lord. When people don't listen, when he tells you, he checks you inside and you don't listen, then you go on and then you get into trouble. But even while you find yourself in the place, there is hope of tomorrow. I love it the way that Job put it in Job 14, verses 7 to 9. He said, there is hope of a tree. Even though it be cut down, it's withering away, the root is getting rotten in the ground, and all that stuff happening to the tree. Well, we don't know how the tree got to be in that situation. It could be because the soil that, it was planted in didn't have enough nutrients. And so the roots couldn't go very deep to get the nutrients he needed. It could be rocky. It could be whatever. However, or maybe there was a horrible weather, that made it dry up. It doesn't matter. However that tree got into that situation, that it's now dry and the rotting in the earth, there is hope through the scent of water. Glory to God. Now this that you're hearing today, is your scent of water. There is hope through the scent of water that tree will come back to life. Glory to God. And I've often said it. I've given this testimony multiple times. Anytime that I talk on this verse, I have literally done that to a couple of trees in my house. One in the back, one shrub in the front that died. And I literally went over there, sprinkled water over it, and I said, this is your scent of water. Glory to God. And the next thing I know, that tree come back to life. Come back to life. died, withered away, no leaves, everything. And yet the three trees next to it were all green. They were all planted at the same time. And this one died, you know, withered away. And it wasn't winter or anything like that. But it had died. But through the scent of water, come back. It is flourishing just like the other three trees that are planted along the same line. You know, because the scent of water, because the water of God is eternal like that. You know, it will walk against nature, anything. Doesn't matter. Just believe the word of God. It walks all the time. Glory to God. So, the choices of life. We still have time today to make the right choices. Even though we might have made wrong choices in the past. You might have taken the wrong turn. You know, and that says something about taking the wrong turn. You know, sometimes when you are going down the road and you take the wrong turn and you miss the way, sometimes you got to get back to the place where you took the wrong turn. You know, sometimes this has happened to me in real life. Well, before the days of, you know, the navigator and all of that. You know, many years ago, I used to travel a lot when I was in consulting. And we didn't have the navigators that we have today, GPS and all that. I used to print out, you know, a map from MapQuest or so on. And it wasn't even voice guided, you know, so you have to stop and look at the map and look at the next few directions, go there and look at it again and so on. You know, and there were times when I took the wrong turn. And then everything's got confused because back then, you know, there was no recalculation or redirecting or rerouting, you know, like we have with active satellite today. You know, they reroute even if you know, even if there is accident or blockage along this road that you are going, the thing might reroute you because it's active intelligence looking at active, you know, satellite road conditions. We didn't have all those things back then. So, there were times when I had to say, well, I missed the road. The directions I have was to take this road to that road. And when you miss the road, I didn't have any further instructions of how to get back to where I was supposed to be going because there was no voice guidance. So I had to trace my step back to the place where I missed the road or missed the turn and then follow the directions again. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that, look, there are some times that you got to take corrective action and make corrective decisions. You can't keep plowing down the road when you're already on the wrong road and think that somehow magically you'll get to where you're supposed to be going. No, you're not going to get there. You already missed the mark. You already missed the road. Now, thank God for GPS. And thank God for rerouting and all these things we have today. Well, that GPS is the Holy Spirit. You know, he will reroute you. But if you don't listen still, then you will just keep plowing down. But if you turn off that GPS, you turn off that Holy Spirit, and you're not listening to his, you know, real-time guidance, you'll never get there. Because you already missed the road and you just keep going in the wrong direction and think somehow magically you will get to where you're supposed to be going. No, you will never get there. You'll get farther and farther away from it. You know, so first you got to know where you're going. You know, listen to this. If nobody knows where they're going, how are they going to know how to get there? It's really simple. It's just wisdom. So first you got to know where you're going before you can even chart a path or a map or put in an address for GPS or anything to get you there. You know, if you turn on your GPS, it will ask you where are you going today? You know, and you have to tell it where you're going. If you don't tell it where you're going, well, it doesn't know how to help you to get there. So now that's foresight. So what is the summary of everything we've said today? Well, today's lesson was on yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I brought into the subject of the insight or understanding, and I brought that in parallel with hindsight for yesterday, insight for today, and foresight for tomorrow. I've also told us that when God gives us promises for tomorrow, there's something that we should be doing about it today. That's right. And this is the reason why we go to school, we send our kids to school, and do all of these things. We're preparing for tomorrow, a better tomorrow. And everybody should always be preparing for a better tomorrow. Some people don't use wisdom, you know, and then they run into all kinds of problems. You know, sometimes when God gives you more than you need today, it is because he's preparing you for tomorrow. But what do a lot of people do? I was going to say most. And I say, well, let me just say a lot. What do a lot of people do when they have abundance today? What do they do? Well, instead of saving for what the proverbial rainy day, they go out and squander it. I mean, if they get a raise, you get a bonus, or they get something, they're going to go on a shopping spree. They're going to go on a cruise. They're going to go on a this. They're going to go on a that. They're going to spend it all for the moment. Just like the prodigal son. And then after they've squandered it away, then they begin to be in want. And then when you cry unto the Lord, Lord said, look, I already gave you more than you needed. Why do you think God gives you more than you need? You know, if you only need 10 units of something and God gives you 15, why? It's for you to keep the 5 for the rainy day. But people don't know how to do that. Classic story, Joseph versus Pharaoh, who couldn't understand his dream. The dream of the 7 lean cattle and the fat cattle and the 7 lean ears of corn and so on. Basically, the fat years produced so much, you know, that, you know, Joseph came and gave, you know, not only the interpretation of the dream. It wasn't actually the interpretation of the dream that made Joseph great. It was the, you know, counsel, sound judgment and counsel that he gave. Because he said to Pharaoh, look, you need to look out a man that can govern this, you know, thing. In the years of plenty, put aside 20%, he said, you know, 1/5 of all of the increase in all those 7 years. Now, that's a lesson of savings for some people who don't know how to save. Put aside 20%, he said. And then, you know, they actually, in the years of, you know, dryness that's coming that will make you forget even the plenty that you had, you would have put aside enough to survive. And he said, well, you know, choose a man, find a man, you know, that can do this. And Pharaoh looked around and said, look, where else are we going to find a man so discreet that has the spirit of God in him like you have? You're the one that came up with this. So you will be the one. I am Pharaoh and you are Joseph. And without you, no one will lift a finger. Glory to God. You know, so when God gives you more than you need, learn from the lesson of Joseph, how he saved the world. Don't go squander it all. And then, you know, begin to be in want. So a lot of people are in bad situations financially, economically today. Not because God didn't make provision for them, but because they had mismanagement of their funds. So what the prodigal son did wrong was mismanagement of his funds. You know, tradition taught us that, you know, this boy was foolish because he went and got his inheritance. There's nothing foolish about that. Bible says, ask and you shall receive. There was nothing foolish about that at all. What was foolish was that he went and squandered it. Now, if he hadn't squandered it, if he had gone and traded with it and made 100%, increase on what he got, we wouldn't be calling him foolish. So it wasn't the fact that he got it that made him foolish, because it was his and he asked for it and he got it. Nothing wrong with that. You know, so, but what made him foolish was because once he got it, he did not use prudence and he did not know how to manage his funds. And so he made very, very bad choices. But eventually, by the grace of God, he came to his senses. So whatever bad choices we've made financially, even, you know, in a family circle, some people have made some very bad choices that put their marriages on the rocks, or even put them in a worse situation, God forbid. But whatever it is, we need to clean it up. You know, if there's opportunity to clean it up, clean it up. You know, some people are in a bad situation because of choices they are making. You got to clean it up. Now, if you are in there and your marriage is on the rocks because of bad choices, bad behavior that you are making, you got to clean it up. You might still be able to salvage that thing. You know, so that's our lesson today. When you think about yesterday or yesteryears, think only along these terms to discover how you can do things better in the case of things that didn't quite work out so well, which people call failure, which I choose to not call failure. I just choose to call them lessons learned. That's it. Because I will not be a failure in anything. And let me also say this to everyone that's listening. You cannot and should not, and don't let anyone define you by your past. Don't you yourself dare to do it. Don't let the devil do it. Don't let anybody do it. Don't let church leaders or religious folks define you by your past. Because some people will never let you live down some wrong thing you ever did. And they're going to put it over your head for the rest of your life. And what's that all about? You know. So the man that traveled in Luke chapter 10 from Jericho, he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves. And they robbed him and stripped him, wounded him, and left him half dead. That man, you guys, everybody, myself included, we call it the story of the Good Samaritan. Well, there are more lessons in that story than just the Good Samaritan. There are lessons of religious leaders that leave their people wounded like that. So the Levite came by, saw him wounded like that, and he left him there. The priest came by, saw him wounded like that, went by his way. Why? Well, in their judgmental minds, they're thinking, well, you should have stayed in Jerusalem. What are you going down to Jericho for? Now, Jericho was a sin city. Jerusalem was the house of God. This man left Jerusalem to go down to Jericho and, you know, got into trouble on the way. So religious folks came along and they're going to not let him get away with the fact that he made a wrong choice. He made a wrong choice. You could have stayed in Jerusalem. What are you going down to Jericho for? You know. And so they're going to leave him wounded like that. And so this is the story that we face from time to time. This is why, you know, the body of Christ is wounded and hurt and not healed. Because people will not let you get away with your past. The devil will not let you. You yourself will not let yourself get away with the past. But there is hope of a tree. Glory to God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. There is hope of a tree. Hallelujah. No matter how it got to that rotten state, through the scent of water, thank you, Jesus, can come back to life. Moses on Mount Horeb, the experience with the burning bush, all that Moses saw was bush and dirt and desert and leaves and rocks and maybe lizards and maybe rubbish on the ground. But God said, this is holy ground now that I'm here. Hallelujah. So when God shows up, all that bush and dirt, rubbish and dirt and everything that was 1 minute rubbish, the next minute it's holy ground when God shows up. And God said, look, this is now holy ground, because God will not be in rubbish. God will not be in the desert and all of that trash that you thought the ground was. When God comes in, it becomes holy ground. But what was Moses still looking at? You're still looking at the dirt. Still looking at the this and the that. God said, no, get your eyes away from that. Look right here in the midst of the fire. This is holy ground now. Hallelujah. And so that's a lesson for every one of us. You know, don't be looking at the failures of the past. And don't let anyone put it over your head either. The devil or yourself or anybody. That was then, but this is now. That should be your answer of faith. When the devil comes against you, he's the accuser of the brethren like that. He said, well, you did this in the past. You'll never amount to anything. When religious folks won't let you get past the mistakes that you made in the past, well, you need to pick up yourself. Pick up the pieces and say, look, that was then, but this is now. And you are not defined. God never defines anybody by their past. God is not in the past. He was in the past. He is in the past in the sense that he's eternal. He is already in the future that he's eternal. But God's right here with you in the present. I'm right here, Jesus told Martha. Never mind the resurrection of the dead that's coming in the future. I am right here, right now. So, you know, that's our lesson for you today. Move past your past. Get beyond your past. Otherwise, you will never be better today than you were then, whether good or bad in the past. You got to get past that. You got to move beyond that. You know, and take that shot when the ball is in your hands. And, you know, this is basketball now. I'm talking. The ball is in your hands. The clock is winding down. And you're thinking in your heart, if I miss it, then, you know, everybody's going to kill me because I lost the game. But what about if you make it? You're going to be the hero. And everybody's going to carry you on their shoulders. So take that shot. Because every shot like that you pass up is a shot that you missed. It's a basket that you missed. If you don't attempt a shot, you already missed the basket. You got to attempt the shot in order to even make the basket. But the reason people won't attempt it is, look, I missed it before, and I might miss it again. And I don't want to take the chance at failure. Well, then you already failed. Because you already failed again. You know, because the Bible says in, you know, Ecclesiastes, you know, cast your bread in the water, you know, over here. I mean, in the morning sow thy seed, in the evening withhold not your hand. Because you know not which one will prosper, either this or that, or whether they will be both good alike. You know, so do this. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 6. In the morning, sow thy seed. In the evening, withhold not thy hand. For thou knowest not whether which will prosper, either this or that, or whether they will be both good alike. So when you hold back thinking, well, you know, I didn't make it before, so, you know, I'm not going to make it again. Well, then you are not going to make it again because you didn't even try this time around. So as far as the past is concerned, glean only from it lessons to help you improve today and the future. And don't rest on your accomplishments either. That's complacency. God can do even better. Who among you, said the Lord in the book of Haggai, that saw this house in its former glory? Well, behold, even if it's in your eyes as nothing now, I will do something greater. And the, what you see in the latter house is going to be greater than the former. So whatever God's already done in the past, he can do even more for us now. And from the place where you are right now, where you are, look out to the east, the west, the south, the north, everywhere. God is going to give you something beautiful. What you can see is what you can get. Glory to God.